Where are you going? Why are you going that way?
Because I'm driving.
What? Hold on. Wait for the car.
I can see.
Man.
I get to pick where I'm going, how I'm going.
You are going way too stinking fast, by the way. This is a 30-mile-an-hour zone. Oh, my gosh. How much closer are you going to get to them?
They just need to hit their gas.
This is why I hate sitting in this seat.
You're not driving.
Clearly. But you're definitely driving me nuts. Do you need the marriage encounter?
Because if you do, we have another one coming up September 27th to the 29th.
The first deposit of $150 is due by June 24th, but we have limited space available, so make sure you sign up as soon as possible. You can email me at PastorDan@HisTabernacle.com, or you can see her or me in person. Sign up today.
We've been supporting the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center by filling up the baby bottles with change. So you should have picked it up like this, and now it should look something like this. We're trying to collect all of them by next Sunday. So if you have some, please turn them in so we can get them to the right spot.
Hey, parents, are you over-coddling your child? Are you having issues within your family and raising your children? Listen, we got the class just for you in step two. Starting June 12th, we're having a family and parenting class at 7 p.m. for the next 8 weeks. Make sure you come out and learn how to be a godly parent and raise up a godly family. We'll see you June 12th, 7 p.m.
It's almost time for our annual Father's Day event with the Pioneers at Dunn Field. This is a great opportunity to grab your family, hang out with your church family, and spend the afternoon together. The game starts at 5 p.m. and tickets are available at the Hub.
Good morning, His Tabernacle family. It's amazing to be here in this house today. We are blessed, and we are so excited that you made the greatest decision of your day to join us and invest in your life. So we want to take a moment, and we want to welcome everybody watching by live stream. Thank you so much for joining us. Can everybody clap real loud so that they can hear us on live stream? Thank you for joining us today. And now, if you are here for the very first time, you're a visitor in the house, would you please just take a moment and just lift your hand up? We want to give you a gift. We don't want to embarrass you or anything like that. We just have a gift for you right there in the back, right there, right over there. Perfect. We'll have somebody run over to you and give you a gift. Can we just clap for them? Visiting a church is a bold thing, and we want to encourage you. You made the right decision. But we ask, we would love you to visit three times, all right? The first time, you kind of watch, and you're like, what in the world is going on here? This is a little louder than I expected, a little crazier than I expected. And then the second time, you're kind of like, oh, I like this place. And then the third time, it's home. So we want to encourage you. Come three times before you make a decision. And then we want to take a moment and we want to talk about the Uproar Conference. Man, July 26th through the 28th, this is our annual youth conference. Last year, we had over 1,200 youth and young adults come to the First Arena. We are looking for volunteers for this conference. If you would like to volunteer in any capacity, we have some people you can contact. We have Zach Ramsey in the back. We have Pastor Cody. Or you can go to, I think it's theuproar.org, and fill in a volunteer form. So we need ushers, greeters, we need help in sound and media and all sorts. So if you're available, please go ahead and sign up there. Make yourself, Pastor Rhonda says, take off of work, make yourself available, be there, or be square. I don't know. And then the last announcement, we have the Awaken Young Adults tonight. We're doing kickball, slip and slide. It's going to be out of this world. So 18 to 30-year-olds, can I see your hand? Can you wave at us real quick? We got some awesome things planned for us this evening, so come be ready at 5:30 p.m. Slip and slide kickball. It's going to be a blast. And now we have Pastor Rhonda.
Come on up, ladies. So we just finished another Women's Encounter weekend. We have had 9 so far. If I could just have any woman that's been on Encounter just stand to your feet, please. That is awesome. Awesome. Thank you. If you have not yet been to an encounter, I promise you, and their testimonies are going to encourage you. You want to get, I know you don't want to. Actually, it was really funny. Every single testimony that was given at Encounter was, I didn't really want to come. I was afraid to come. I made excuses not to come. So I know how it is, but make sure you come to Women's Encounter. So we just want each one to share real quickly a word from Encounter.
God told me that the enemy has been more aware of my potential for God's power than I have been, and I can no longer let that be.
I found it intense and instructive.
I was reminded to keep renewing my mind.
That he's doing it and to trust the process.
To breathe and to let him do what he has to do.
To remember what it was like at the beginning and to absolutely need God, to absolutely need him.
I am perfectly loved.
Amen. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you need to go to Encounter.
How many years have you been a Christian?
A lot. A Christian, or how long have I been back from being backslidden?
Yes. Amen.
Go, baby. It's your turn.
God said to love his people and to share his gospel. Thank you, Jesus.
I once had a lifetime scripture, and I kind of abandoned that. And the one thing that was said to us, find your lifetime scripture and keep it in your heart.
I was reminded to rest more in Jesus and release to Jesus.
He told me that he would take care of it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. This isn't all of them. This is some of them. Thank you. I just want to share my one takeaway. Pastor Andrea actually quoted this one. This, you should get your pen out real quick. This is so deep and so profound. I can't even let it leave my spirit. It's not a sacrifice. It's an honor of obedience. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. Ushers, please assist. Thank you. We're entering into the time of tithes and offerings. And this is one of my favorite times. You know, tithing changes your relationship with money. Any tithers in the house can relate. Tithing changes your relationship with money. It changes your relationship with God, and it changes your relationship with your community. While tithing helps break down the thought that I am in charge. Amen. It also answers the question, where does my security come from, money or God? Tithing changes our relationship with God, and it changes from disobedience to obedience. And obedience puts us under an open heaven. Open heaven, financial favor, breakthrough, and being made whole in our bodies. When you're under an open heaven, it's His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you're under an open heaven, all of heaven comes down and participates with your life. And tithing changes your relationship with your community, and that we become a blessing and a part of change. Amen. Whether it's $5 or $950 that it costs a week to provide food and busing and transportation for the Matthew 25 ministry, whatever amount it is, any amount that God has for you to tithe, it becomes a blessing to your community. It becomes the change that's necessary in your community. Tithing changes your relationship with money. Choose to tithe and change your relationship with money, God, and your community today. Maybe you've never done it before. Today's a good day. Today's a good day to realize he's in charge. Today's a good day to start changing your community. And today's a great day to step under an open heaven. I need an open heaven functioning in my life. How about you? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we just repeat it. The blessings of the Lord. If I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we call and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. He's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. He's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. He's gonna work in your favor. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Amen. How many of you are blessed today? Well, that didn't sound too exciting. I said, how many of you are blessed today? Amen. I love God. God has been so good to us. God has changed our lives. God is alive and not dead. A lot of people serve a dead God in a dead church with dead preachers, with dead people. And I want you to know that God is the resurrection and the life. Amen. Church should be exciting. Church should be fun. Church should be exhilarating. And so today I want to start off with a skit.
Hi, Dan. How was that conference you ended up going to?
Good, good. They actually made me a featured speaker, which was really cool because I've, you know, been trying to get myself known in the marketplace with my peers. And so it gave me a really good platform, which, you know, is just helping me kind of catapult my brand.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, yeah, and we're involved with like 3 or 4 charities. We do some golf tournaments. All that stuff kind of just gets my name out there, gets me a little bit more influence in the marketplace.
All right.
You know, we just joined that new church.
What church is that, Dan?
A Faith Center. Oh. It's really a cool church. I mean, everybody who's anybody goes there.
Oh, and yeah?
So, yeah, I'm kind of trying to get myself involved with some things that the pastor is involved with so I can kind of have a little more juice, you know?
Oh.
So hopefully I can get some business out of that. So I give to the church.
You give to the church. That would be under tithing?
No. I'm not giving 10%. Oh, you know, I give them $100 here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure I'm seen dropping it in the basket.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I mean, business is great. Life is good. Kids are good. You know, I think it's just really all coming together. So
that sounds great.
I think my life is perfect.
Perfect. Thanks for meeting with me.
Yeah.
All right. No cell service. God, God, no, I have influence. I have, you know who I am.
Hi.
Hi.
I see you're in the baby shower area.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, grandchild number 10 is on the way, and we just found out it's going to be a girl, so I'm having fun because all the other 9 are boys.
Oh, is that right?
It is. So, checking all this stuff out.
So I take it you have a lot of family gatherings and stuff.
Oh, we do. You know, the traditional big gatherings for all the holidays at the house, you know, decorate all the grandkids. I just love it. I can't get enough of that.
Oh, yes. Bet your Christmas is important. And
oh,
big.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Yep. Everybody comes.
Yeah. Now, do you guys go to church on Christmas?
No, you know, it's there's so many people and they come, some stay overnight. So you have all the commotion in the morning and we have a big breakfast, a traditional Christmas breakfast. And it really isn't a lot of time to do much other. The kids are opening their gifts and, right. You know, we just make a whole day of it.
Okay.
Whole day of it. Yeah.
So God is good for you then?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that. We have a great family. I just really, it's all about family for me. When I was a kid, we went to church a few times, but, things change in life and Mary and the kids start coming and they take a lot of time. And now with all the grandkids, I babysit a lot and we do a lot of things together I believe there's a God. I believe that. I'm at peace about that.
You'll be going to heaven.
Oh, yeah. God, what everybody says, God is love. God loves everybody. So, yep, I'm a good person. I do good things. My family's great. I think we're all good. All good to go.
Good to hear. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I've been looking forward to this my whole life. Hey. No. No, no, this is a mistake! No, this is a mistake! No, help me! Help me! Help me! No, help me! Help me, somebody! Help me! Help me!
Okay. So thank you.
Hi. Thank you.
So you just graduated from college?
I did. I graduated from University of Texas in Austin.
Yeah. Nice. Is that the Longhorns?
Yes, go Longhorns.
Okay. Good deal. So how are things going?
They're going pretty great. I mean, I graduated college with my bachelor's degree in psychology, and I just got my new house. And I got a car, 2017 Infiniti.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Setting right up, aren't you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Everything's turned out pretty great.
So your plans for the future are?
My plans for the future, for right now, I just want to travel around the world, see different cultures, just look around, see what's new. I mean, I've been in college, like, right after high school. I went straight to college.
Right.
So I'm trying to experience new religions, new cultures, things like that. And then eventually get married and have kids.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Now, you brought up different religions.
Yeah.
So what is your relationship with God?
With God? Who is God? I don't have a relationship with a God or how people say.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I've done it all by myself. I raised up myself. As soon as I turned 16, I eventually started working, you know, saving up money for college. I paid everything. And up to now, everything that I have is because I've worked hard for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I never received help from anyone. Just me, myself, and I.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations on your graduation.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Where am I? God? Is that you? Hello? Is that you? God? Are you real? God? No. 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 No! I'm sorry! I'm sorry! No! Please! No! Please! No, I'm sorry! Please! No!
Boy, if that didn't bring the hair up on the back of your head. And I'll be honest with you, that's going to be quiet. There is a real heaven, and there is a real hell. And many times as church folks, we forget about this. We forget that the reality that every human being on this planet, there's not one human being on this planet that's not eternal. Every single person from the most wealthy, influential individual to a person that is eating out of the garbage down in New York City. Every one of us are eternal. And whether we like it or not, we'll either be with Christ in eternity or separated from Christ forever. And when the church forgets this, we start missing why we're here. We start getting more absorbed with our activities of life and accomplishments that we acquire here on this planet. But the truth is that everything we have is gone the moment we take our last breath. You can stuff it in the casket with you, but still, the only thing that's in the casket is just your dead body that no longer has breath. When we, the church, forget this, then we start losing sight that other people need to be saved. We start losing sight that we've got to live right. Listen, I'm not here to scare the hell out of you. I think this should scare the hell out of some of us. But this should never be used as just a fear-mongering factor. Hell is not about fear-mongering. Hell is reality. And let's be real. Hell is the nice place. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that hell is going to give up its dead and that everybody will be thrown into the lake of fire. So really, hell is just a holding tank. I want to just read this to you. I think that what we need to do this morning is just pay attention. And what we're praying for is this. Let me tell you my take home for you in this message. The last 2 weeks we've been preaching on love. If you really love somebody, you're going to tell somebody about Jesus. If you really love somebody, you're going to share with them about eternity. The person you hate the most is the one you will not share the gospel with. If you know that somebody is going to step into eternity without a living God, and they'll be dragged away in this fashion, then there must be a compulsion in our spirit to have an awakening that we hold the message that can bring them from death to life. When we, the body of Christ, forget this, then this world now owns us and our purpose is gone. And truthfully, in the majority of churches in America right now, as there is a massive decline in church, the reason is because the church has forgotten why we're here. And there must be a revelation. What is a revelation? The word is apokalypsis in the Greek. It means if you draw a picture or you have a bust and you have a blanket over top of it, and then there's an unveiling, a revealing, so you can see it clearly. I'm praying that God will allow us to see clearly a level of understanding about hell, the lake of fire, to where we will truly have a burden for those and a love for the people that we know will not see Christ. And we've got to tell somebody. When the church has lost this, then we just love the world way too much. One of them said, I love God. I've heard people say to me, if he's such a loving God, why would he send anybody to hell? I want you to know that God will send nobody to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, God has done everything to make sure that not one person will ever have to spend eternity with the devil and his angels in the lake of fire. God sends nobody to hell. We send ourselves. The fact is that we all have to make a decision. Somebody's got to pay the price for the sins we've committed. For all have sinned. Turn to someone and say, that means you too. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person on this planet has sinned. The Bible says this, that if a man says he has no sin, he is a liar. Well, somebody has to pay for that trespass. Somebody has to pay for that law breaking. Somebody has to pay the penalty. Somebody has to stand before the righteous judge. And I don't know about you, but I thank God for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who paid the price for you and I, so that we don't have to pay the price for our own sin, but our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. But for those who do not choose Jesus, they have to pay for their own sin. And that's where eternity comes into play. That's where if a person chooses not to know Christ, not to be washed by the blood of Jesus, I'm not talking about joining a religion. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about having a relationship with a living God. And when you have a relationship with the living God and your sins are washed away, the Bible says that now you have the right to be called sons and daughters of God. But when you're not, you have to pay for your own. And the wages of sin is not physical death. Let's be honest. Physical death is short. We don't live long on this planet. We just had a horrific catastrophe a week and a half ago from a young man that came to the church and sang on the worship team. Friday morning, we put him in the ground. At 16 years old. Yet so many play with this thing called eternity. And I want you to know that this is way too much to gamble with. And we all know people. Maybe it's your babies. Maybe it's your children. Man, you did not give a good example. You did not walk right before the Lord. And now your kids are wayward. It's time to be people of aggression in the spirit and start battling and calling those things forth. It's time to get your family back to the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You see, the truth is that you can say you don't believe in hell all you want. But when you wake up there, you can't say that no more. Can I hear an amen or am I? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says this, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, which means this is This is elementary school. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Everybody say, two judgments? There are two judgments. How many of you are born again? Washed by the blood of Jesus. Come on now, that should be a little bit more exciting than that. How many of you are washed by the blood of Jesus? You're going to be going to the judgment called the Bema Seat of Christ, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. That says this, that you and I are going to stand before him, the judgment seat of Christ, but will not be judged for our sins because our sins have been washed away, which means our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can I hear an amen? I remember when the disciples came back, they were all excited. Jesus, man, the devils are subject to you, us in your name. Jesus said, don't be excited about that. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Don't be excited about that kind of stuff. That means nothing. But be excited that your names are written in the book of life. You see, if your name is written in the book of life, today you can have a security in your heart. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you take your last breath, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The judgment of the believer is that we're going to stand before God and we're going to have to give an account for our words and our works. That's why not being a slug while we're here on this earth as ambassadors of heaven is so important. That is why you hear me push you constantly. Come on, don't be a slug. I push you constantly. Come on, get involved in a ministry. I push you constantly. Share the gospel with your friends. Why? Because I don't want you to get to heaven and have nothing. We forget that why we're here is not just to suck air and go to heaven, but God's got destiny and purpose for you. That each one of us, God has a plan for us. And there are certain people that only you can reach. Do you realize that if you don't reach them, nobody will? This is why the enemy works so desperately to get you distracted. He works so desperately to get you so wrapped up in this world that you don't share your faith. You don't share the gospel. You no longer give what Jesus has given to you. For as freely as you've received, freely give. You no longer give it because you're so wrapped up in the world. He's got you so busy. All the hypocrites in church, you're a hypocrite. There's not one person on this planet that's not a hypocrite in some area of their life. See, we can blame who we want to blame. We can complain the way we want to complain. We can have all of our reasons. Listen now, I'm just going to tell you one that just gets in my craw every single time I hear it. I watch parents damn their children to eternity away from God by taking them to sports on a Sunday morning, making sports more important than Jesus. Listen now. It's time for the believer to stand up, go to the coach and say, my kid don't show up unless you start playing afternoon. They did it down south and it worked, but we Christians up here are just wusses. It's time to stand up. Man, your kids are more important than anything else. When I became a pastor, the one thing that most pastors know is this. They'll tell you, the worst kids are the pastor's kids. But how many pastors damn their own children because they love God's church more than they love their family? And we made sure that was not the way it was in our house. I love my family. I want to make sure my kids were getting to heaven. Listen, I love you, but I want my kids to go to heaven first. Sorry. It's time to wake up, church. We as believers, we're not going to be judged for our sins. We're not going to be cast into hell. We're going to know we're going to heaven at the Bema Seat of Christ. But man, it's not just getting to heaven. It's having crowns to throw at his feet. I want to say, God, I did everything I could do in my life to serve you. Lord, I thank you for the souls that you allowed me and enabled me to lead to you. I thank you, God, that I fulfilled my purpose. Well done, thou good and. Well done, thou good and. Are you faithful? You see, this is where the believer has to have a shake up and a wake up in our lives, because we live a life that is so self-absorbed that we forget that we're not here for us. We're not here for us. We're here for them. There's another judgment. Say the second judgment. I can't hear you. Say the second judgment. It's called the White Throne Judgment. Anybody who ends up at the White Throne Judgment is not going to heaven. That means their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means either they once served God and walked away from God. I could fill this church at least six times with the people that have walked away from God. They started serving Jesus and they walked away from Jesus. The love of the world got a hold of them. They got so wrapped up in what the world had to offer them that they walked away from their destiny and their call and their purpose. No, I'm not saying they went to another church. I don't care if they go to another church. I'm talking about, I know that they no longer follow Christ. They don't have a relationship with him. This is not about a prayer that we make when we're 6 years old and we say a nice little prayerette and that's going to get us. That's our ticket. No, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is a relationship with God, not a religion. Amen. I can't hear you. Say amen. The White Throne Judgment are for those whose names are not in the Book of Life. They've not received Christ as their Savior. Their sins have not been washed away by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell gave up and delivered up their dead. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We had a lady in our church many years ago. Her name was Sally, and Sally actually had died. She was dead 20 minutes and actually has a death certificate to prove it. She was living in Connecticut. She was a solid Catholic. She went to Mass every day. She said that her husband was the one who built all of the bridges here on Route 17. They were very wealthy. Connected to all the higher echelon of Connecticut. Her husband was an abuser. Out in public, he smiled all the time, was sweet all the time, but behind the scenes, he would beat her. Pretty much held her captive. We actually have her testimony on DVD. One day, she started complaining about a pain in her side, and her husband said, "Suck it up." What happened was her appendix burst. And it was days before she got to the hospital. And when she finally got there, she died. She said she was down in the morgue. And as she's in the morgue, the Lord, when she died, brought her into a vision. She said, "I saw Jesus, and I was so excited to see him. But he took me and he didn't take me to heaven. He took me to a precipice." And she said, "I looked over and there was a gaping hole and I saw flames coming out and I smelled sulfur and I heard the screams of people crying for help, but there was nobody." She said, "I saw a hand reach over and try to grasp their way out, but there was no way out." She said, "I knew it was hell." And she just started begging Jesus, "Don't send me there. Don't let me go there. Please give me another chance." And the Lord said, "Go back and tell them. Go back and tell them what you've seen. Go back and tell them." She then came back to herself as she's laying on that slab. They had just been started taking out all of the stuff. And she sat up. She's led thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Jesus. She doesn't care if you like her or you don't like her. The one thing you knew was, if you got near Sally, you're getting the gospel. Why? Because hell wasn't a concept for her. It was a reality for her. Unless hell becomes a reality to your life, you're not driven to see people saved. For years and years and years, I prayed, God, let me see just a glimpse of hell. All through Bible school, let me see a glimpse of hell. There was this young lady who was praying the same thing. And by Bible college, men sat on one side, women sat on the other. It was a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and all of a sudden I heard that girl. She gave such an enormous blood-curdling scream. There was no way to ignore it. It was an enormous shriek of agony and pain and of just desperation. And she said, stop it! Please stop! God gave her a slight vision of hell, and she begged never to see it again. There's another man named Bill Weiss who actually died, and he's got a book out there. It's called 23 Minutes in Hell. He said the moment that he ended in hell, God gave him an open vision. The moment he was in hell, he was in a 15-foot high, 10-foot wide, 15-foot deep cell. You see, everyone's concept is this. You know, you've heard him say it. Can't wait to get to hell. We'll party together. The one thing you'll learn when you start studying the Bible is hell is nothing like anybody's trying to convince you it is. It is a place to shun. It's a place to run from. He was in this cell. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 27, there'll be chambers of death in hell. There are different levels of torment in hell according to the sins that you have accomplished. There will be some that will be tormented far more than others. But no matter what level of hell you are in, no matter what level that you're participating with because of your choices not to receive Jesus, the fact and the truth is simply this, is that you will be tormented for the rest of your eternity. Come on now. How many of you have ever had the flu for 6 days? I hate life. Please help me. I don't feel good. I'm just going to lay here. This is not a 7-day sickness. Sin is an eternal judgment. For all of eternity, you'll be separated from everybody forever. You'll never talk to anybody human again. You'll never be partying with anybody. You'll not spend time with anybody. It is absolute aloneness. When you start studying hell, the one thing you realize real quickly, it is literally the opposite of heaven. What we're so excited about to get to heaven, to see our family, there'll be nobody. This man was all of a sudden in a cell all by himself. He said he looked at his body, and it was the same, like, physical body that he had, but it's an eternal body. He looked over, and in the cell, there were two demons in the cell with him. They were between 10 and 13 feet tall. Their bodies simulated that of lizards and of reptiles. And the demons were just cursing God. Remember, they once served God in heaven, but chose to follow Lucifer, where 1/3 of the angels were cast out of heaven with Satan. They hate God, and they hate humans. Why? Because we've been created in the image of God, and they don't want us to be with Jesus for all of eternity. Here he is in this cell. They're mocking him and laughing at him. He said, I couldn't even get up. My physical body was so weak. He said, I just wanted to sleep, but there's no sleep in hell. You'll never sleep in hell. You'll never rest in hell. by loneliness and these demons that are just tormenting you and hating you. Why do they hate you again? Because they hate God. But they won you. The stench of rotting flesh. Come on, you know, you passed a dead deer on the side of the road. Man, we had a horrible situation this week where a raccoon killed all of our chickens. So I took Sophia to see the chickens last night. I think it's good for the kid to understand what's going on. She wants to know where chickens are. They were just in a heap. But the aroma of death. You could get in 20, 30 feet of that chicken pen, and there were only four dead chickens. And all you could smell is a rotting of flesh. We got there, and you could see the maggots running in and out. The Bible says there are maggots in hell, and they're eating your flesh, but you're never consumed. The smells that overtake you in hell, as the explanation in the world, word is simply saying, you will smell sulfur. Sulfur. Do you realize there is one aroma on this planet that you never acclimate to, and it's sulfur. You'll smell this stench your whole time you're separated from God. The whole time you're being tortured and tormented by these demons as they rip and tear. He said this one demon walked into the cell and with his claws ripped his chest open. His literally was standing in shreds, but you can't die. You can't die. You can't die. This is eternal. Forever. He said one demon stomped his head. He said, I know my head went flat. I was thinking in my head, you see, you are still you when you're in hell. I was thinking in my head, how am I alive? My head is flat. But you never die. You never die. You never die. This is eternal. This is forever. Well, see, we don't like to talk about this in church.
Well, I just came to be encouraged.
Well, I want to encourage you to encourage somebody else. See, because when this isn't real to you, you could care less that the person sitting next to you is going to heaven or hell. It's all about you. And this is where the world, we talked about it last week, how the diabolical disconnect has happened within the church realm, where we no longer are attentive, that we no longer really care about anybody but our own little world. And God is saying, I've sent you to the world. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. It's time for us to have a resurrection of an understanding that eternity separated from God is forever. He said, I was paralyzed. Stricken and panicked. You see, the opposite of peace is fear. Can you imagine living in fear the rest of your eternity? Where every time you turn around, there's a panic attack. Every time you turn around, all you can do is scream and shriek. Why? Because there is no peace there. There is no rest there. There is no sleep there. There is nothing. There is nobody but you being tormented by these demonic spirits for the rest of your eternity. Why? Because you chose to pay for your own sin. Can someone say that's just not intelligent? The guy said that he was in that cell and all of a sudden demons grabbed him. They started dragging him out. And he looked over and he saw a pit. And then he saw multiple pits. But in this one pit that he was looking at, he said, all you could see is like what's happening in the volcano right now in Hawaii with the massive gushes of volcanic lava bubbling out. We all know if you touch that, you're dead. You're gonna shrivel up. You're gonna die. And he says these people are in the middle of that. They're screaming. They're just screaming for all that they are. They're screaming from hell for deliverance. They're screaming for someone to help them. They're screaming for someone to tell their family. They're screaming for someone to reach down and to give them even a drop of water. They're screaming as their flesh is melted off their body. Their carcass is there, but they can't die. Can't die. You don't die. This is forever. You don't die. This is forever. You see why the enemy works so desperately to keep you disconnected from Jesus? Why the enemy works so hard and desperate to keep you away from the Word? Why the enemy works so hard to keep you away from your destiny? Why? Because he doesn't want your friends to hear. He doesn't want them to know. Well, Pastor, they're going to reject me. Dear God, I'd rather them reject me because I shared Jesus than anything. Well, I don't want to offend them. Which hell are you going to offend them to? One, two, or three? We make up all these excuses. But really what it is, we don't care. We don't love people the way we used to love people. And we really don't believe this is eternal. I'm going to end. I so desperately don't want this to be about fear-mongering. See, because you can scare the hell out of somebody, but you can't keep the hell out of them until they understand the love of Jesus. But until the church has this revelation, we don't care. Well, that's their problem. Well, I don't like them. Well, they offended me. Well, I don't want to make them mad at me. Go through all of our reasons. But the fact is one day, every human being will stand before judgment of God. If they're born again, heaven's going to cheer because another saint has come home. Son and daughter has crested into eternity. They're going to see their Jesus face to face. I once see in darkness and in shadows, but now I see clearly my Savior who washed my sins away. He loves me, and now I'm home. You'll see your family that were born again. You'll spend time with them. You'll even get a mansion. But for those who don't know Jesus, it's simple. They wake up in a cell. Help! There is no help. Save me! There is no saving. There is no purgatory. Sally used to actually walk into the Catholic Church. And she would start preaching the gospel, and she was kicked out of many Catholic churches. She says, I love my Catholic brothers and sisters, but the fact is they've never been preached the gospel. And the gospel is simple. Without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't go to heaven. A church can't save you. Religion can't save you. Being a good person can't save you. Sincerity can't save you. What you had in the past can't save you. Where are you right now? If today you crest into eternity, where will you be? Like that little, like Marge? Well, it's all about family. It's all about family. Yeah, I'm a good person. As she was dragged away for eternity, separated from Christ. Where are you? And you see, today, I don't really want it to be about you. I want it to be about five people that you know that don't know Christ. I want it to be about, listen now, you know somebody that's not saved, and today, you don't know, it could be their last day. You don't realize. I know I have some of the family members here, I'm so sorry. But his death can't go for it without purpose. He was supposed to start singing on the worship team last week again. We all entered that week. I had just preached that week. How many of you know somebody that died young? Most of you raised your hand. The next day, he drowned right here. Thank God he knew Jesus. Thank God he knew Jesus. But how many will pass today that you know that don't know Jesus? The Nardi family just had a loss. Their grandfather passed away. And Dom had been communicating with me. I said, Dom, does your grandfather know Jesus? He says, I think so. I mean, he was a good religious man. I said, Dom, call your grandfather. He called his grandfather, and he talked to him about Christ. And he said, texted me back. He said, Pastor, all good. All good. I said, awesome. Doesn't matter how many years you live here. Because there, here is counted, there is not. Here is linear, there is eternal. The question is this. If you die today, where will you be? If you take your last breath today, will you go to heaven? And if not, you are an insane individual not to confess Christ as your Savior. It is true insanity. If I know I'm going to get my hand cut off by going someplace and I choose still to do it, that's insanity. If I know there's an escape and I choose not to take it, knowing that I'll die, that's insanity. It's insanity to know your way to eternal bliss and to turn away for your own foolish, selfish reasons. Well, I don't know if the Bible's true. Oh, dear God, if you really want to know, I can prove it to you. No, I didn't say theory. I said prove it to you. I'll prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. And if I can prove to you the Bible's true, you better fall to your knees that day. But I find that most people don't really want to know because we'd rather live our own lives. But listen now, if I live my own life and I die and I've never heard, how catastrophic. But if I heard and chose, how insane. Some of you are insane. You're insane. And I mean that with all love. I don't get it. I want to grab you and shake you. As a parent, you see your kids doing stupid stuff. You want to grab them, shake them. Wake up! Don't you realize this will impact the rest of your life? I want to grab you. Don't you realize this will affect your entire eternity? If you're in this room this morning, again, this is really not my main purpose. My main purpose is for those who are saved to get you to start looking at people the way God sees them. Heaven bound or lake of fire bound. And that every one of us in this room have such an enormous responsibility to tell somebody. If they reject it, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ. Don't make it personal. But if they've never heard, how sad. So today, if I could just have you bow your heads with me this morning. I know I've gone late. But boy, I tell you, this is the message. With Jesus, there's hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. Oh, I didn't say church or religion. I said with Jesus. All your excuses mean nothing to God. He gave us every way to escape, but we make choices. Today, if you're not right with God and you want to get right with Jesus,
well, I don't want to raise my hand because anybody will know.
Dear Lord, grow up. You got to get to a place where you really don't care what people say or think. They're not standing for you. You're standing for yourself. Your husband ain't standing with you. Your wife ain't standing with you. Mom and daddy aren't standing with you. It's just you. Today, if you're not right with Jesus and you want to get right with God, you're not sure and you want to make sure, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, young lady. You can put it right back down. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Yep, I see it. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Oh, saints, I want to just grab you and shake you. You do know you can talk to Jesus anytime, any place. It doesn't even have to be in church. He's waiting for you. Today, I'd like us all to stand to our feet. And I know it's kind of a somber day, but it's not really somber. It should be compelling us. It should be driving us. It should be the reason why we breathe and the reason we live is to share the good news with somebody that with the blood of Jesus washing their sins away, all things are passed away, all things become new, and God is awesome. You have that inside of you. You know, I think the last time I preached this was at least 5 or 6 years ago. And I don't preach it often, mainly because, you know, no one's really excited to come to the sermon. But if we get that apocalypse, then we don't live the same anymore. If you can reach one person a year, can you imagine that? If everybody just reaches one soul a year, if everyone snatches one soul out of eternity a year that was damned to the lake of fire, dear Lord, what could happen? One, just one. But what if you get five? We all know at least five people that don't know Christ. What are you going to do? Don't let them die without at least hearing the gospel. If they don't like you after that, then they didn't like you anyways. Honestly, if they don't like you after you share the gospel, then they didn't like you anyways. It was just a matter of time till you said something that offended them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for something to happen inside of us. Jesus, this is why you came, so that not one person has to end up here. Not one person will be damned to the lake of fire. Jesus, that's why you came and you gave us the opportunity. You gave us the privilege of handling your gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. I pray, Jesus, that each one of us will be so compelled today that we'll not let this 24-hour period of time escape us without sharing with somebody, Lord, who we know or we don't know, that God, you are good all the time. That, Jesus, you don't want one soul to be lost. For it's God's will that not one soul be lost. Burden us, God. Compel us, God. The greatest thing we can ever acquire is more souls. Give us a quiver full of souls, God. Lord, let our lives mean so much that when we get to heaven, you will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If who's handling Mindy's scene? Who's doing salvation? Oh, very good. Come on over here, young man. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'd like you to be brave. Grab the person next to you and say, hey, I need you to go up with me. And why don't you all do this? Why don't you turn to the person next to you right now? Everybody turn to the person next to you right now and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. Come on, turn to someone next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand and you want to go up, I'll go up with you. If that's you, make your way up here now. Come on, make your way up here now. Amen. I'm proud of you. Proud of you, baby. Today's a life change. Life change.
Life change, baby girl. Life change. Life change. Amen. Life change. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. Life change today. Young man, I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you. Hi, baby girls. Very proud of you. Come on up here. What we're going to do is we're going to have you go over with them, and they're going to pray with you. They're going to get you a Bible. Actually, on Thursday night, this young man preached in youth ministry. Oh, praise the Lord, honey. 21 people gave their heart to Jesus on Thursday night. Amen. I'm so proud of you all. Honestly, this is not about church or religion. This is about you and Jesus, and God's going to change your life today. You'll never be the same person again from this day forward. So if you'll walk over with these two beautiful people, they're going to pray with you and love on you. Give them another hand clap. Don't let heaven outshout you now. How many of you got to share the gospel today? I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Bring at least one soul to Jesus. Next week, I'm preaching on heaven. It's a little bit happier sermon. So bring someone to hear about heaven next week. I love you. Have a great day.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the